Let's start in Colossians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I'll just pray a quick prayer. Lord, we love you so much. We want to be with you. We want to know you. We don't want to just learn scriptures. We want to learn your heart. We want to learn what the scriptures are pointing to, which is you, and to know you. We want your spirit to lead us and guide us, not into religion, but into the fullness of what you intended from the beginning. So our hearts reach out to you right now. We ask you to have to live in your way among us in Jesus' name. Amen. And Colossians 2, verse 9, and I want you to notice one particular phrase that's used several times here. It's the phrase "in him." It's referring to Christ. It's referring to our relationship to him. In fact, it's referring to our Bibles with him. And then it also, there's several mentions of the cross and of the resurrection. So, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all the trespasses. And so there is this reality of being, I think the most popular phrase is being in Christ and being in union with Christ. And there has been over the years a lot of teaching concerning who we are in Christ. Who are we in Christ? And it's a good angle, except for, I think there's a better way to say it. And that is, who Christ is that we are in. Who he is. Because we're joined to him. We're not just, it's not just who we are now. It's who he has made us by himself. By his own life. By his own riches, if you will. But it's not the riches of heaven like people would automatically assume. It's the riches of his nature, the riches of his being, the riches of the way, can I put it this way? The riches of the way he handles things compared to us. Yeah. Let's get on a real life basis, right? Let's get down where we live, but it's not really supposed to be primarily focused on where we live unless we understand in him we live and move and have our being, scripture from that. And I want to read Romans. We'll go to Romans and then John, and then I think I'll put something around for you. But it's good practice to find this stuff in the Bible. Okay. Romans chapter 5. I'm just one of these verses, and then describe the way I have taught in him for many years, and then try to give you a little bit different angle out of John. Romans 5, and we'll just look at verse 17. Notice one man referring to Adam, the fallen creation, and then one man referring to Christ. I was noticing everybody looking up here, I'm going, who came in? My version is the King James Version, but this is, I'm sure, just as good. So it says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Do like the overflow of grace. So the way that it's been taught for many years, and I've taught it that way, is if there's a big chalkboard behind me, that big one. So I can move right again. Start. There's a big chalkboard behind me, and in the middle of that chalkboard, I would draw a big cross, Okay? Big cross. On the left-hand side, I'm going to draw a big square. On this side over here, I'm going to draw a big circle. And it's a big square drawn in Adam, the fallen creation. Amen? The fallen creation. Okay? So I put him in a square because he's a square. Amen? And then I would draw it that the circle represents Christ, never ended. Amen? Okay. So then we draw an arrow to show that Jesus took the old nature to the cross and died, and then rose again, another arrow pointing into the circle, where we are now in Christ. We are now in union with Christ. And so the scripture in Colossians, in Him, not in us, but in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. Okay, so all the fullness is in me. I mean, I have some fullness, but it's not that kind. All the fullness is in Him. But I am in Him, or in union with Him. Amen? And you, well, you are. We are in union with the One that has all of this. Okay. Now, a lot of Christians, they don't really plug into that as well as they should, because they don't realize that they're already in Him and in all the fullness that is there, because it's Him. All the fullness in Him. He is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth. We're plugged into His fullness, and are more specifically Him. So it says, you're complete in Him. You're not complete in you. So we're not just trying to go to heaven and say, oh Lord, I need some more fullness. Well, that would mean you need something beyond Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, if you take it properly, if you're just looking up there instead of realizing that you're in Him, and you draw from the life of Christ, and you draw from that reality, then it's as if that big chart that I drew on this big chalkboard is not real. But it is real. A man, sin came into the world and all went into sin. Adam. By one man, all is fulfilled, and now we're in union with Him. Okay, so that's a reality. That's not just a theological statement. We're not here to learn theological realities. You know, we're not Bible scholars. We just love Jesus. And we want to know Him. And we want to be real in us. And we want Him to be real in us. And our hearts yearn after Him. That's the songs that we were singing, I love them. Because they're truly trying to draw out the hearts that we have for Jesus. The hearts that we have for Jesus. So, let's see. Let's go now, and this is where we'll end up. John 15. I want to talk about this in Him reality. And I want to talk to you about it according to what Jesus said it really represents. Because a lot of times we go to Paul, we go to his teachings, we go to his letters, we go to his epistles, and we try to study out all of that and get it all figured out and go, okay, so then that's the chart from, you know. So there was Adam, and Adam's a circle or a square. And no, he's not. There's a great reality of that, and that's our old nature. If we're living by it, guess what? We're living by Adam. Okay. But we can just look at a square and go, well, that's, you know, look at a cross that was drawn up there. But that's not the real cross that did the work. The real cross did the work. And then the circle is not Jesus. Jesus is, I like the song we did, you know. To Him who sits on the throne, or the other one of the in the book of Revelation. If when you get to the throne room one day and you're looking there, you're not going to look up there and there's going to be a big circle. Oh, I remember you in the chart. No, He's a sweating lamb and gave His life so that we can be one with Him and have that same life and have all of the riches of His life, but it would be still Him. But it would be Him and us. Amen. So last time I was here, I think I spoke about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Probably every time I'll come, I'll mention it. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, that's a powerful scripture. That's Colossians 1:27. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because most people are going, Christ coming back in the clouds is the hope of glory. Think about it. God wants Christ in us as our hope. My hope is in Christ in me, not me. Right? Not I, but Christ. But he's not my hope far away. Oh, one day, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You know, you can hope your life away. You know? Yeah. But he's here now, and we need to plug into him as that kind of a reality. And that's what the Spirit of God is moving. That's why he was sent here on earth. Jesus said, when he comes, he will testify to me. He will take that which is mine and show it unto you. You know? And so, a lot of times people are using the Holy Spirit for different things and missing out on the most important one, that nobody knows Jesus like the Holy Spirit, except maybe the Father. You know? So, we think he's going to come teach us Jesus of Nazareth. No, he knew Jesus before there was a Nazareth. You know, before there was a Prom, Texas. Before there was a world. So you start there with Jesus walking in the earth, but you go all the way over here. You go all over here. Before the world was, and who do you have? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, you know me after the flesh. Remember that scripture? It's in Corinthians. We're not supposed to know Jesus after the flesh anymore. Have you ever really looked at that? We're supposed to know him by the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to teach us what we can just read in the Gospels. The Spirit is going to take us all the way back to the original, the way he was and is to come. But we know him in the realm of time and space, and so we get bogged down and we say, well, you know, what's Jesus like? Well, you know, he's a healer. Yeah, he's a healer, but what was he like before the world when nobody needed healing? Right? And when it's all over with, you know, no demons to cast out, nobody needing salvation, nobody needing, no more sickness, no more. What's he like? What's he going to be like? Because we know him on that basis, so we're always going to, give me this, do this, do this, because I know you did that when you walked the earth. But he's got a lot more in him than just those things. So the Spirit of God wants to bring us into that. Well, so, as I said, Paul, I mean, praise God. Praise God for all the epistles that he wrote. But sometimes they can end up being like a chart on a chalkboard, or a definition, or a theological presentation. And we take that and we present it as a theological presentation. There is power in what you're trying to theology. The power is in Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
I like this side. I get better amen. So. I'm talking to y'all.
Actually, no, they need it more.
Before I came here, I was in Virginia, and I had been there last year, and they said, when you were sharing last time here, you said, and I guess I did the same thing, I said, I like it because been there, I'm going to. And they said, you turned to the other side and you said, y'all need Jesus. And so she pulls out a t-shirt on it and says, y'all need Jesus. I was like, I don't want to give this to you. All right, John 15. I'll tell you that yet. Verse 1. This is Jesus speaking now. I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Okay, let's start right there. Let's start with the first words out of Jesus' mouth. We really start communicating what in Christ means, or in Him means, or in union with Him, is that theology for Jesus. And He starts with what? We always start with being branches. You know where it's going because you know the scripture. So we always start with, you know, I'm a branch, you know. But He doesn't. He starts with that which is eternal. He's using different names. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the husbandman or the farmer, the person who watches over the vineyard. But He's still talking about the Son and the Father. He doesn't start with us. Okay? And that would make sense. It all came out of the heart of God from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. To really find the realities of these things, we have to start getting into their relationship. I love the scripture in 1 John where it says, he says, I write these things to you that we might have fellowship with you. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. He said fellowship has been going on before we ever existed or the world ever existed. And it's not on the basis of cars and buildings and jobs and money. And you see what I'm saying? That relationship wasn't based on any of that. It never even got factored in on any level. It's just them. And so Jesus is saying, now He's going to talk about this union that we have. But He already has a union with the Father. So He's saying, okay, so you can put it like this. Jesus said, I'll be the vine. The Father says, I'll be the husbandman. I'll be the caretaker. Jesus said, I'll be the branch. And the Father says, I'll take care of the external things that I'm dealing with to keep them on track and this and that. Because that's what He does. So, right at first, they're setting their place. This is what we want, and this is how we're going to do it. And so then He moves to the second phase. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, He will repurchase it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Alright, so He's saying there is a threefold thing here. There's a vine, there's a branch coming off of that, and there's fruit coming out of it. Okay. Well, as you know, and He already said that, but He'll say it more as He goes. He's saying the branch can't do anything of itself. It doesn't have roots, it doesn't have the only thing it has is the vine. Amen? So the branch has to be totally plugged in to the vine. I don't just mean theologically. I mean, when He says, without me you can do nothing, he's saying, okay, well, let's cut this branch off, throw it out there, so see what you can do. You know? And, you know, I mean, I remember reading this when I was a young Christian, and I thought, what does He mean? Without Him, I can do nothing. I can do all kinds of things. I can drive a car. You know, I eat. I get to do all kinds of stuff. And then I just kind of heard say, yeah, it's all nothing. Yeah. Because it's not Him. It's not flowing from Him. It's not His reality. It's not the Father's reality. It's not the eternal relationship that they have and that we're supposed to be brought into. And that's what John 15 is about. Us being brought into that, but we're not producing it. We're grafted into Him, and then only if that life starts filling us. And I mean, the way Jesus is describing this isn't like, well, there's a branch, a vine, and I'm going to put a little seed of salvation in that branch. And somehow it's just going to blossom. He's not putting the seed of salvation in us. He's putting His Son in us. Yeah. I mean, that's a big difference, isn't it? His Son, the producer, the vine, the one that is able to bring forth what we could never bring forth. Well, what would that be? Well, how about love? You know, have you ever, anybody here, I even would like to show it. Anybody up here ever prayed for more love? Probably you guys. Let it raise your hand. Because the rest of it is me.
T-shirt next year.
Perfect. I can see me one day walk into a place and I've got 5 t-shirts on. Well, you know, we're praying for love, and yet we are plugged into God, if you will. Jesus as God, and God is love. Jesus, or Jesus is not a love giver. He is love. And if you say to God that is love, I need some more love, and you're thinking totally like he's going to send a package to you of love, then you're wrong. You're thinking wrong. You're looking at it wrong. This is more intimate than that. That could be just a, you know, God could be like Amazon or something. You know? With an even bigger smile. But God is not Amazon. He is the life of that, of everything of that. So anything you ask for, he's the life of it. He's the life of it. He's not just a giver of it. He's literally, using this example, he's the flow of life that produces all that's going to come forth. If you would, you know, to have a branch that's going, oh, you know, the sister branch over there is, you know, getting bigger than me, more fruit. You know, Lord, I need you to send me some more fruit. Well, he's going to say, you need more Jesus. Amen? That's what we need more.
Yeah.
Jesus produces the fruit. Yeah. And as long as we, you know, abide with him. So in verse 2, it said, every branch that bears fruit one another, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. All right, so we have to understand that that's not theology or a cute picture. Jesus is going, I'm just going to use a natural picture, you know. He is the vine, and we are the branch, and it's not a picture. So he says, if you bear fruit, he's going to purge you that you might bring forth what's from you, purging. You may know what purging is of a branch like that. Anybody ever had a rose bush, and then at a certain time of the year, you knew it was time to cut it back, and you cut it way back, I mean way back, so that it's this scrawny little thing with, you know, almost nothing. And you go, you know, somebody walks by and go, what an ugly looking rose bush. Yeah, that's my pride and joy. Why? You know, because purging does what? That's it. Causes it to grow more. Causes it to bring forth more fruit. That's what he said. It will cause it to bring forth more fruit. Okay, so here we go again. We're going to go in our little prayer room. We're going to say, oh Lord, bring forth more fruit out of me. What's he going to do? Oh, magic grow dust. Some magic grow dust all over you. That's so good. No. 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 He's going to purge us. He's going to start cutting us back so that Jesus can come forth more. Right? He's going to cut the branch back so that the life within the branch can start producing more of his fruit. All right. So we hear that and we go, okay, I think I understand this, you know, like from a vineyard owner's point of view. This is the literal way God does it. If you want more of his fruit, God's going to start cutting you back so more of Jesus can come. Now that means that when you pray that, you have to be aware what's coming. Right? Somebody definitely got it. Because we have to be aware of it, because if we're not aware of it, then coming back, something will happen, and we'll just start being limited. You know, it's like, well, why are these people doing this to me on my job? Or, you know, why, you know, different relationships are not what they used to be. Why is all this cutting back and limitation happening to me? And then we pray again. We keep getting deeper. We pray again. We say, God, you take this away so I can be free and happy with you. And it's on you. Pray this on you. You said you wanted more of that
learn.
It was more of the life, more of this, but you weren't looking for it. You just say what Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is the test. You know, okay, well, in this case, it's to purge you, and it's God's hand. It's actually the Father's hand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's not Jesus, he's the life. It's the Father going, well, I'd like more of my son too. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you pray that way, he's going, well, I'm all for it. He loves his son. He wants more of his son. So then we complain to the Father that you're getting more of your son out of this, and I'm kind of bad. You know? Are we tickled or what? And I know what I'm talking about because, you know, I think one of the things I'm sharing with you in the book, I've been through it all and went, oh, that's I've been cut back so many times and then realized, okay, that's the Lord answering my prayer, not the devil. It's the devil. But that's the Lord answering my prayer for Lord Jesus. Now, that's one way to guarantee that God will answer your prayer. You start asking for more of Jesus, more of Him pouring in you, more of Him coming forth, more of His life, more of the producing of His nature and things like that. You know, and a lot of times we get those circumstances and we're talking to somebody that's a Christian and then they start being mean or they do these bad things to us. We go, why are you mad? We want to love me. You know, I don't understand this. I'm so hurt. Anybody ever go through that before? That's pretty much been my life. Anyway, we're wrestling with the Lord. We're wrestling with the ones who's trying to answer our prayer. Are you serious? Yes. But again, here's the main thing that I want to point out about that is, if we pray that, we have to realize that it only comes, Jesus, Lord Jesus, not purging. But what is purging again? It's cutting back the branch, not the life in the branch. I've been to so many places recently, but I think it was in Belgium, and there was a tree, and it had plums on it, and there was this tiny, it was this little bitty twig about that big. It had like five big old plums hanging off of it. And I was looking at it going, man, we always think we've got to be big and strong. And I was looking at it thinking, the branch is not your heart. It's how much life is flowing through it to bring forth things on the fruit. You know? You don't have to be big. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be this. You just have to want more Jesus. You just have to say, and let me just say this. When we got born again, we had Jesus full and complete, okay? That's it. But he's not fully formed in us in every part of our life. And the proof of that is that when we prayed for the purging, we didn't know we were praying for the purging. We were just more of Jesus' life to come forth out of us. And somebody comes up and they say something negative to us. And we get hurt or we get upset or, you know, get angry or whatever. That's just proof. It's not his fruit. I'm still, you know, and Jesus even talked about bringing forth bad fruit and stuff. Well, what is bad fruit? It's not just being angry or hurt. Bad fruit is anything that's not Christ. Right?
Yeah.
And that's really verse 3. Now you're acclaimed through the word which I have spoken to you. So he's saying, this, I'm trying to wash your little messed up branch mind. Right? I'm trying to wash your little mind. You didn't know branches had minds, did you? Washing your little mind. And now if you receive my word, you understand. And you understand that, yes, you should pray this, but yes, it's going to be followed up with a situation of limitation for you so that his life, not so that you can be upset or wondering what's going on or confused or calling it the devil, but so that you can know exactly what it is and be working with the Father, saying yes, yes, whatever it takes. Anybody ever pray that?
Well, all I can say is, be careful with that.
That's dynamite. Because he'll take care of it. So verse 4, God in me and I in you. Well, let's just stop right there. Okay, so we all know this verse, but what does it mean? Have you ever asked in your mind, what does it mean to abide? Okay? What does it mean to abide? Just show me, Lord, and I'll do it. You know, just show me what it means and I'll do it. It literally means that what your understanding of all of this is that he is the vine that has the life in it. I'm the branch, and the Father will offer the scripture. He's going to, sometimes he'll use manure, you know, to try to make you know, that stuff. And sometimes he'll cut you back, and sometimes he'll spray you, and you go, why are you spraying me with this foul smelling stuff? He doesn't always stop, but it's for the bugs. It's for what's eating you. What's eating on you. You know, we're just misunderstanding everything, because this is reality, and this out here needs to conform to that reality. And that's where the problem is at. Because we grew up here, we learned here, everything, so everything is here. But in Jesus' mind, this is just one thing. I'm the vine, he's the husband, and you're a branch, and all the things I'm telling you here is the way to get more of an increase in him. But we have to be able to take that out of a teaching or out of the Bible as far as just scripture and put it in our situation and go, okay, Father, I'm more in tune with you. I want to be more in tune with the fact that this is your life, not my own. And I want your life to proliferate within me. Not just your teaching, not just your, you know, because there's a lot of things that we say, well, you know, let's put it this way. Two people volunteer to teach Sunday school or something. Teach the youth. One of them is just wanting a place for you to recognize. People go, oh, you're so wonderful. Right? That happens, actually. I've been around a lot. And then the other one, and they just want to pour out the Lord. You know, it's like, this is an opportunity. You know, they don't go, no, I need a bigger platform. You know, I need to be teaching, you know, whatever. They'll take whatever the Lord opens and they'll pour Christ into it. Remember we were talking about that. And so the Lord blesses and blesses and blesses because their heart is right. That comes from fruit. Fruit, meaning the nature of Christ through them. The other one is still us, but we're doing Christian things and calling that fruit. Again, still glad I came. I mean, any good pastor where you saw would say, I don't just want, you know, warm bodies doing stuff. I want Christ in this body. I want us to be laid on the feet and I want this to flow with one life. And one spirit, one body, one Father. All. You know? Because that is who we are. That's the way we choose to live. And we we may not be like the regular church or whatever on the other corners that are around the other
church. What do y'all do this?
We endure it. So abiding is just staying with the fact that I'm just a branch. I'm a vessel through which, and He is the life, and the Father is going to do whatever He can do in our lives here to get more of Jesus, and most of the time that's going to mean cutting me back on some level, or some way. And to understand that, go, I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. The rest of my life, I'm good with that.
That's the best thing I've had in a long time. I'm not joking.
Okay, so this site's been a little better.
They were louder than this.
There's more of it.
Y'all need Jesus.
We want to see anybody in this room. Yeah, that's because you're the worst one. When I was in Bible school, I used to go to the altar every time they'd have an altar call. And a student came up to me and said, Randy, you must be really messed up because you're an altar call. I said, I am. And he said, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's talking all about it. And I said, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. Would you pray for me? That's what I said to him. Sure, you know. This is like that response. That weird. Yeah, I did. I was stealing Jesus. I have stuff that goes up in me to steal up the Lord. I don't like it. But I'm not trying to change that. I'm trying to get Christ to fill every inch of this branch. You see what I'm saying? And you're putting your emphasis on Him, not on Him, you know, like being way up in heaven. But Him being the vine of which we're drawing from that life. So, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me nothing. So, you have a hard, fast thing that most Christians that I have been around just haven't embraced, and that is that. That without Him, I can do nothing that will please the husband, the father. Okay, so the husbandman is the father. My Father is the husband, right? And Jesus, the Son, is the vine. And you realize they set this pattern up, not just a pattern, but we were meant not to be isolated individual Christians. We were meant to live plugged into Him. And in a real way, in our minds and on our hearts, this would be something that is more real to us than just sitting separately in pews or whatever. But, you know, we're all going to plug in to the vine. You know, we're all going to do it. We're going to do it right now. We're going to set our hearts that this is no longer just going to be a bunch of individuals trying to serve Jesus. But we will think of ourselves in terms of, this is a pretty fruitful vine. You know what I mean? With a lot of branches. And all wanting the same thing. And Jesus, we would say that, with that we would say, Jesus, you're right. Thank you, Lord. He's going, I am. Our grandson was with us up in Houston, and the first two nights he came up, we got up in the morning and said, how does anybody sleep at this time? I don't know. But anybody who lives around here, I don't know who does, you get used to it. You don't even know this works. Okay, so Without me, you can do nothing.
What
can we do? Yes, we can abide. What does that involve? Just saying, I'm a branch, and he's the vine, and Father, do what it takes. Because the Father, he's the main one who's working on everything to get that Jesus juice out of you in the form of his nature and life manifested as fruit. He's the one doing it. And he wants it. And he wouldn't have sent the seed in the first place to plant it, which is Jesus also did. And planted it, and then they must be able to be grafted into him if he didn't want it. So if you realize that he wants it more than you do, then you quit golden out of your heart. Anybody here, honestly, while I'm sharing a couple of things, anybody here think, I know I can do it, or I don't know if I want that. Okay, well, yeah, not everybody's at the exact place, but the way that I usually pray, whether it's when I have questions about it, I don't pray, Lord, you know, I don't want to even hear it because I can't do it. I pray, Father, if in me I don't want this, or I'm fighting it, or I can't accept it, or it's too much right now, and I don't seem to be willing, I ask you in your time to make me willing. Because I know that if he makes me willing, it will be a true willingness, you understand? Not, I used to go down to the altar sometime, and I would just pray because, you know, I need help. No, but I wasn't really saying, you know, Father, you do it, and change my heart, change my willingness, change all of that, bring forth the Son. So, Jesus is talking about that. So, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So, he didn't say, herein is the husband of the glorified. This is the Father-Son relationship. This is an eternal relationship that is not based on time or vines and some conscious individual, but based on the Father's desire of the Son. Not, and he already had him before time, seated beside him, but he wanted, for whatever reason, he wanted branches that would let him come through them and produce his fruit. For whatever reason, that's what before time, the one thing they didn't have, they had the husband and they had the wife. They didn't have the branches. And so in his mind, we go, well, he wanted to do all, you know, if I think it's as simple as he wants more of his son. He doesn't have the roots. He wants him to increase. He wants, you know, John the Baptist said that. He must increase and I must decrease. So this is what you want. This is what you always want. You're not trying to fix my world, my earth. You're trying to fill your world with the Lord Jesus. Anyway, I'll stop there. So now I'll just pray a quick prayer for me.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been here and
vision. The comments or
hanging out. Really? Yeah, what do you mean by...
Oh, I think that your sermon is actually summed up in verse 9. Just stop them for sure.
Yeah.
You don't mind.
Sure.
As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love.
Amen. Yeah, there's a lot more obviously there.
Yeah,
right. You know, when I look around and everyone's asleep, I use this stuff. I'm kidding. Just, I was starting to fall asleep.
Oh.
Jesus.
I think abide is similar to the word abode. Which is your home, which is you live where you live.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I've never heard that before. That's perfect. Because really, we are his abode.
Yeah.
but more than that, because if you're abiding in a house, you're not the house or connected to it. If you're a branch, you're part of the living flow. So it's even, it's big.
This thought came to me. We have a Western church that keeps trying to add branches to the vine before they are trying to produce the fruit of the
vine. I like this church.
No,
that's all we're using. Yeah. It all comes. I preached for about 6 months on John 17:20. And there's a message together. Father, I pray that those who believe on the positive message will be one, even as. And that is a faithfulness. But the whole thing, as they are one, Father, the world will know. Now there's the kicker for me, that's what they want. They want the world to know what the Father says. May I comment on your comment? It's very good. And he said, and if I say it wrong, correct me. He said that it seems like in the church was what the emphasis is more on plugging more branches into the vine instead of getting the life flowing in the branches. Okay. But if the life isn't really flowing, it's not Christ filling us. It's we're just Christians, and we're plugged into the vine, then we're missing out on the Father getting the Son. I mean, really, the real way, not just at salvation, but to do that, then would dry up eventually, no matter how many stuff you have. I think that's what you would say.
When you laugh, that
hurts.
That was sparking in my mind. I've shared in the church before about how in the beginning when God said to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and at that point he was speaking to his image. So it shows that his original intention was for his image to fill everything. And first Colossians says Christ is the image of the invisible God. So after the fall, there was populating, and we added people and people and people, and we added all kinds of numbers to the earth, but we didn't add an image. And I see that contrast in what we're hearing saying too.
And what a beautiful thing to have people that can stand up for the heart of God concerning what he really wants, his Son, not just salvation. And I'm for salvation, not salvation. Thank God to say, but to have a people to stand up for his heart and what his original intention instead of our view of this intention. To save me, help me, bless me. And what about him? What about us turning our hearts to his heart and finding out what's really, really important? That's what I'm hearing. So it's thank you, buddy. Good.